True love is not nice, kind, sweet, and positive. True love is nice and mean, kind and cruel, positive and negative, supporting and challenging, peaceful and warful, cooperative and competitive, there for you and not there for you. I'll bet that if we asked how many people were listening and said, yes, I have love if I have that, we'd all put our hands up. Once we redefine love as a balance of complementary opposite states, we realize that we're surrounded by love 24 hours a day. But as long as we're looking for love in a one-sided form, we'll be looking for love our whole life and miss it. People come to me for consulting and they say, oh, Dr. DeMartini, I'm looking for my soulmate. I want him to be supportive and nice and pleasant and, of course, built like a whoa. And I want him to do this and I want him to do that. And it's all these one-sided monopoled states. It's like trying to get a magnet and cut it in half and just get one side. And I try to explain to them that like a magnet, if you want magnetism in life, to draw into your life what you love, you have to embrace both sides of the magnet or both sides of a coin. Your self-worth is how many coins you stack up. If you keep trying to get rid of half of a coin, you'll never accumulate any coins to stack up. Your self-worth will never grow. So if you want to have magnetism, you got to embrace the whole magnet. And the whole magnet is the positive and the negative, the nice and the mean, and the kind and the cruel, and the pleasant and the unpleasant, and I like you and I dislike you, and come in, baby, into my space and get out of my space. It's both of those. Do you know that if you go to work and you get supported at work and everybody thinks you're the greatest at work, when you come home, if you're up on a pedestal from work, do you know that the purpose of the spouse is to equilibrate and balance you? They'll nail you. But if you are down and you're down in a gutter, and you come home, they'll lift you up. The purpose of a loving relationship is not happiness, not even support. It's support or challenge, whatever it takes to balance you. If you're above your equilibration and kind of big on yourself, the purpose of the mate is to bring you back into the balance. If you're down on yourself, the purpose of the mate is to bring you up. So they'll squash you, or in a sense wash you, in order to get you into your heart. Now, if you're addicted to the pleasure side and not willing to take the pain side, you'll be thinking your relationship isn't working, but in reality, they're working magnificently. Because true love is a balancing act. The one who loves you most is the one who's willing to lift you up or put you down into the heart. Because if you get above yourself, you get self-righteous. And when you get self-righteous, you attract tragedies and challenges and humbling circumstances and distractions. And if you get below yourself, you get support and comedy and pride-building circumstances, and you go back to the basics. The second we go into the center, we find the one we love loves us. The second we go above, they bring us down. The second we go down, we bring us up. So the purpose of love is to equilibrate, to balance. That's the harmony of the relationship. Because if you look very carefully in your life, you'll find out when somebody's putting you down, somebody's lifting you up. When somebody's lifting you up, somebody's knocking you down. You get the story of the people in the car, a family. You get them in a car, right? And you got the mother and father, and they're driving in the front. And they're driving along like this, and the brother and the sister in the back. And in the back seat, they're fighting with each other. They're fighting and screaming at each other. And they're yelling and they're poking each other and they're doing it. And finally, the mother turns around, father's driving, the mother turns around and says, Johnny, Ann, stop fighting. And a few seconds later, they start fighting again, and the mother turns around and says, I told you to stop fighting. And a few seconds later, they get back to fighting again. Now, didn't I tell you to stop fighting? I don't want to have to tell you again. And then you start fighting a few minutes later, and finally she says, if I have to say this one more time, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. You're not going to get this. And then a few minutes later, they're fighting again. And finally she says, get over on your side and leave your sister alone. And finally the husband's driving, and he's building up tension. And he's getting to a point where he's just going, oh, I'd like to just, these kids. And so finally, she backs away again, and they start fighting again. And finally, that's it. He pulls over on the side of the road. He comes out, and he scolds him. And he maybe even gives him a good pat on the butt, right? In the process of doing that, now they're up there, and they're all tense, and they're at war. Maybe you were too hard on him. Well, if you would have done this, and now they're at war, and the kids are back there. So now there's peace in the back, and there's war at the front. Finally, as they drive further, the parents start to calm down. And the second they do, the kids start up in the back. Now, the reason for that is that in every family, there's a balance of peace and war. In every family, there's a balance of cooperation and competition. And every family, there's support and challenge, nice and mean, kind and cruel, pleasant and unpleasant, attractive and repulsive systems. That's not a dysfunction. That is a perfectly understandable function once you understand that love has two sides. True love surrounds us 24 hours a day. We can't escape it. That's a really great discovery when we finally realize we can't escape love. But when we're searching for love in one side only, we will be searching our whole life for a one-sided love that we'll never find. So in order to have love, no matter what the circumstances, it's important to redefine what love is so we have realistic perspective. Einstein said that some of the idealisms that we search for are the source of our suffering. And the Buddhism that said says that which is unattainable is the source of our suffering, the desire for that which is unattainable. So if we're searching for this one-sided pole of a magnet, and we keep trying to chop it and get another half a magnet and try to get this other half, it's only this positive side, then we end up going, I'll never find this. I can't get this magnet. Why can't I get this magnet? Now, another aspect of doing what you love, loving what you do, and feeling love around you is learning the art of communicating and caring about somebody and communicating in their value system. Now, let's think about that. Now, let's just say we're in sales. And now, really, in actuality, everybody here is in sales, whether they realize it or not. They're in sales business. So, selling is really learning what the customer, their value system, and learning how to take your product, service, or idea, which is your values, the things that's important to you, and learning how to articulate or communicate the importance of what you have in terms of their values, isn't it? Now, people go to sales programs and sales programs and sales programs to learn how to sell to make customers. But I wonder why they don't do sales programs and sales programs to learn how to sell their spouses. Now, what does that mean? Now, I use this analogy, and I'll use my own dynamic. I know my wife's values. One of her highest values is to look beautiful. I can rely and know she's going to do everything she can to look as beautiful as she can. She focuses on that. It's important to her. She will also do what she can to be a master of distributing or consuming and purchasing and buying things at stores. She's a master of that. She knows everyone. She has a photographic memory of every great shoe store and everything. She has attention surplus order there. Now, I also know that she wants to keep youthful and beautiful, not only on the outside, but on the inside. So she does things to keep her beauty that way. I also know that she loves security. Now, she's not interested in quantum physics. She's not interested so much in deep philosophy if it's too thinky, too brainy, like sometimes I get. So if I go up to her, and let's say I'm going on a tour. I'm about to go on a tour to Australia for a month, do a bunch of cities and speaking and everything else. If I go up to my wife and I said, hey, babe, I'm going on another tour. I'll see if I can call you if I can. See you later, babe. Give me a high five, babe. I'll call you if I get a chance. But if I went up to her and I said this, because I'd be going against her values. And whenever you go against somebody's values, they close down. They withdraw, right? They get ultimatums put on you, and they basically negate you, right? They don't like it. Close off. And if I go up to my wife and I say, honey, it's that time again. I give her a hug, I hold her in my arms, and I kiss her. And I say, I'm going on my tour again. I'll be thinking about you every night and throughout the day. And I just noticed that exactly 1 month from now, when I'm about to be finished with this tour, that it will be full moon again. And what I imagined is us meeting in Venice. What I'd love us to do is to be going down the Grand Canal in a gondola, wrapped up in a little blanket under a cool night with a full moon, and holding each other and embracing each other and going down the canal and going off a side canal, and I helping you up the steps to go walking through the little sidewalks, going into the San Marcos Square, and there playing and listening to the violins and having a Perrier and maybe a glass of wine. And then after we're through with that, then walking back over to the Europa Regina Hotel and maybe going into the bedroom and maybe having two masseuses, a male for you and a female for me, and and getting all slippery and oiled up. And then maybe afterwards, maybe having this incredible experience and make love and spend the night and hold each other in arms and spoon each other into the night. And then afterwards, maybe we fall asleep into each other's arms and get up in the morning and have room service and breakfast. And then after we do that, we'll shower together and bathe each other. And then we'll go out and we'll go shopping. We'll put our sunglasses on and go to Damiani's and Versace's and all the different places. And then after that, I figured we'd go to Cipriani's for lunch, and we get back from Cipriani's, I thought we'd go back to shopping again and then enjoy the evening into the square. Honey, is there any way you can meet me in 1 month in Venice? Honey, I love you so much. I'll do everything. I'll arrange everything. I'll just take care of it. I love you. Thank you for working so hard for our vision and everything. I love you, honey. Bye. Go. I'll take care of it all. Now, if I communicate in her values, she gives me freedom to do what I love. If I go against her values, she puts constraint and ultimatum. The art of loving is the same as selling. Loyalty, trust, commitment are not what other people do to you. It's what you do to them that you get back. In other words, if I am willing to communicate in her values more than anybody else on the planet, more effectively and efficiently, according to her highest values, she's loyal and committed, and I can trust her to do that. But I can't trust her to do anything other than what's highest in her values. It's my responsibility to communicate in those values. Are you following along with me so far? Do you understand this? So it's my responsibility, if I would love to have a fulfilled, loving life, for me to make sure that I learn and care enough about other people to find out what their values are, to communicate with it, because if I do, I have the world to give me freedom to live my dreams. And that's not just the spouse, it's the world. The second I go against their values, they put constraints. The second I give and support and communicate in their values, they give me freedom. Anybody in our life that we have experienced, that we think was not part of love, it's our illusion. A moment ago I said that when somebody's supporting you, somebody's challenging you, go on a journey, an amazing journey, and explore all the way back as far as you can remember in your life. And scan every single person you can think of. Identify every person you can, make a list of them. And then at the moment you thought that somebody was very mean to you or nice to you, ask at that exact same second, simultaneously, synchronously, who is doing the exact opposite. It will blow your mind. Thomas Aquinas, the philosopher, theologian, discovered something along this line, and people before them did too. He called it synchronicity. Synchronicity, I call the great discovery, is the realization that you will never be supported without being challenged, nor challenged without being supported. You'll never be treated nicely without meanly, or meanly without nicely. You will never get a one-sided event, but your mind, because of your value system, because you project your value systems onto things, will assume that it's occurring, and that assumption onto other things, based on your values, filtering the universe that way, will that there will be one-sided events. The master is the one who sees both sides of the events simultaneously, synchronously, in a loving manner. The mass consciousness, if you will, the victim consciousness that we see all over the TVs and things of this nature, are the people that see one side of events and never look for the other side. They see the crisis and never see the blessing. Scan through your life and make a list of every time a person was mean to you, who is being nice at that same moment. Every time somebody was nice to you, who is being mean to you. And you'll discover that everybody's playing in a magnificent, highly organized, intelligent, I call it the divine design, the divine order on the planet, of bringing everything back into balance and bringing love to its full expression. We are surrounded by love and all else is illusion. When we wake up to the depth of that understanding, we can't escape love. It surrounds us. It's 24 hours a day, all over the world, wherever we are. The quality of our lives based on the quality of the questions we ask. If we learn to ask questions that bring balance to our perceptions, which brings, in a sense, order to our perceptions, which makes us feel grateful for the order, which then opens our heart to love, we will discover that we have access to love 24 hours a day just by asking the quality questions. So when somebody's mean, who's being nice? When somebody's nice, who's being mean? When somebody's being supportive, who's being challenging? If we look for that balance that's going on inherently, David Bohm, the physicist, said that there is an implicate order in the universe, and Gerald Mann said that there's an underlying order in the universe at all levels, from the subatomics to the astronomics, and mankind in between, humankind, is in the middle of that order. And when we sit there and open our heart by seeing the balance, we're graced and we're inspired and we become purposeful and we become meaningful and we make a difference on a bigger scale. And then we live our own lives as somebody else's, and we surround ourselves in love.